Come in.
A person to see you, Mr. Holmes.
Yeah, thank you, Mrs. Hudson.
This way, gentlemen.
I have a letter for Mr. Sherlock Holmes.
Ah, thank you.
Good day, gentlemen.
One moment, my man.
Sir?
May I ask what your trade may be?
Commissionaire, sir. Uniform away for repairs.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Sir?
And you were?
A sergeant, sir. Royal Marine Light Infantry.
Thank you, sergeant. Now.
Thank you, sir. Good day.
How in the world did you deduce that?
Deduce what? Excuse me, you broke the thread of my thoughts.
I'm sorry, but it was wonderful.
Oh, commonplace. Great blue anchor tattooed on the back of his hand, military bearing, air of command, dozen other details. And look at this note.
Yeah. Thank you.
I said just now there were no criminals. It appears that I was wrong.
This is terrible.
It does seem to be a little out of the common.
Out of the common? A man bearing no sign of a wound, found dead in a pool of blood.
In an empty house in Brixton.
Who is this Tobias Gregson?
The smartest of the Scotland Yarders.
And he's come to you for help?
Oh, he and Lestrade are the pick of a bad lot, and they have their knives into one another. They're as jealous as a pair of professional beauties. Oof, there'll be some fun in this case if they're both put on the scent. Watson?
Oh, surely there's not a moment to be lost. I'll order you a cab.
Oh, well, I'm not sure about whether I shall go.
What? It's just that chance you've been longing for.
Oh, my dear fellow, what does it matter to me? Supposing I do unravel the problem, Gregson and Lestrade and company will pocket all the credit. That comes of being an unofficial personage.
But he begs you to help him.
Yes, well, he knows that I'm his superior and acknowledges it to me, but he'd cut his tongue out before owning it to a third person. However, we may as well go and have a look. I may have a laugh at them, if I have nothing else.
Right, come on. Your hat, come on. You wish me to come?
Yeah. If you've nothing better to do.
Sorry, gents. Can't go in there.
Good morning, Constable. We are here at Inspector Gregson's invitation.
Oh, beg your pardon, sir. You'll find him inside, with Inspector Lestrade.
Oh, excellent.
Sir?
Nothing. Come along, Watson.
Thank you, Constable.
Sir?
Holmes? Sorry. What is it? Have you found something?
Yes, exactly what I was expecting to find.
Ah, footprints.
Watson.
Yes?
This may not be pleasant. Are you sure your nerves can take it?
I wouldn't miss this for the world.
Good man. Ah, Gregson.
Mr. Holmes, it's kind of you to come.
Inspector Tobias Gregson, Dr. John Watson.
Good day, Doctor.
Inspector.
I'll be glad of an expert medical opinion. Oh, come in, gentlemen. I've left everything untouched.
Except that.
Mr. Holmes?
The pathway man. I've heard of buffaloes that passed along it. There can be a greater mess.
I've had so much to do inside the house. I had relied on Mr. Lestrade to look after the path.
Of course. Did you come here in a cab, Gregson?
No, sir.
Nor Lestrade?
No, sir.
Ah. Then let us go and look at this unfortunate individual.
Have you found out who the poor fellow was yet, Inspector?
Yes, we have, Doctor. He was an American, seemingly. Name of
Drebber. Enoch J. Drebber.
Thank you, Mr. Lestrade.
Mr. Gregson. Good morning, Mr. Holmes.
Lestrade.
I didn't expect to see you here, Doctor.
Good morning, Inspector.
Well, I suppose there's no harm. It's this room, gentlemen, but before you go in, perhaps I should warn you. It's not exactly pretty.
Yes, yes, Lestrade. Good God. Fascinating.
This case will make a stir, mark my words. It beats anything I've seen. And I'm no chicken.
I agree with Lestrade. This is a nasty business.
Come, Doctor. To work.
You're quite sure there's no wound?
Positive.
And yet there's blood everywhere. It reminds me of the death of Van Janssen in Utrecht in the year 34. Remember the case, Gregson?
No, sir.
Read it up. You really should. There's nothing new under the sun.
What do you think, Mr. Holmes?
Don't really restrain. I just walked in the door.
Doctor.
Yes?
I wonder if you'd oblige me by taking a few notes.
Notes?
It would be of enormous assistance.
Then I'd be glad to.
Use my notepad. You have a pencil?
Yes.
Excellent. Gregson, with your permission, I shall examine the body.
Yes, go ahead.
Thank you. Lestrade.
Mr. Holmes.
Be so good as to hold my hat. Now, let's see. Yes, yes, yes. Now, this is the body of a man about 43 or 44 years of age. Middle size. Broad-shouldered. Well-dressed. Immaculate collar and cuffs. Patent leather boots. Size 10. A top hat on the floor beside him. Body curiously twisted. Hands clenched. Legs interlocked. Watson.
Yes, Holmes.
Smell his lips.
Good Lord.
Shh, shh, shh. Quite so. Thank you, Doctor. He's not been moved at all.
No more than we had to examine him properly.
Yes, of course. Lestrade, give me a hand to turn him over.
Right.
A ring. I was caught up in the folds of his jacket.
Got it. Oh, this is a woman's wedding ring. There's been a woman here.
Oh, this complicates matters. Heaven knows they were complicated enough before.
You're sure it doesn't simplify them? But there's nothing to be learned by staring at it. What did you find in his pockets?
We have it all here.
More notes, if you please, Doctor. A gold watch, gold ring, gold pin with rubies. Whatever the motive was, it certainly wasn't robbery. Russian leather card case.
With visiting cards of Enoch J. Drebber of Cleveland, USA.
And two letters, one addressed to E.J. Drebber, and the other two, Joseph Stangerson.
What address, Lestrade?
American Exchange, the Strand. Be called for.
Have you made any inquiries as to this man Stangerson, Gregson?
I did so at once.
Indeed, Lestrade.
Advertisements in all newspapers, and a man sent to the American Exchange. No information yet.
Have you sent to Cleveland?
I telegraphed this morning.
How did you word your inquiries?
I simply detailed the circumstances.
Nothing else? Is there no single factor upon which this whole case appears to hinge? Will you not telegraph again?
I've said all I have to say.
Mr. Gregson! Gentlemen, I have just made a discovery of the highest importance.
Oh, yes?
Yes. Pray, look over here. This is the darkest part of the room, but observe this candle stub on the shelf. When it was burning, this area of the wall would have been clearly lit. Now, what do you make of that?
Good God. Is that blood?
Yes.
R-A-C-H-E.
Written in letters of blood. Rache. A most important clue.
Well, what does it mean now that you found it, Rache?
It means that the writer was going to put the female name Rachel, but was disturbed before he or she had time to finish. You mark my words. A woman named Rachel has something to do with all this. It's all very well for you to laugh, Mr. Holmes. But the old hound is the best when all's said and done.
I really do beg your pardon, Lestrade. You deserve the credit for having found it. With your permission, I'll examine the room now.
I've already done so.
Now, carry on, Mr. Holmes.
Thank you.
He won't find anything else. I'll bet my pension.
Look at him sniffing around. No disrespect intended, Doctor, but there's a right way and a wrong way to go about this sort of work.
Yes, I'm sure there is.
Have you known him long, Doctor?
Long enough to know that he does nothing without some definite purpose.
Mr. Holmes, what do you think?
Well, it would be robbing you of the credit if I were to presume to help you. You too, doing so well. But I should like to speak to the constable who found the body.
John Rance. He's off duty now.
I have a note of his home address. Here you are, Doctor.
Thank you, Inspector.
Come along, Watson. We'll look him up. I'll tell you one thing which may help you in the case.
Oh, yes?
There has been a murder done, and the murderer was a man. He was more than 6 feet high, was in the prime of life, had small feet for his height, wore coarse, square-toed boots, and smoked a Trichinopoly cigar. He came here with his victim in a four-wheeled cab, which was drawn by a horse with three old shoes and a new one on his off foreleg. In all probability, the murderer had a florid face, and the fingernails of his right hand were remarkably long. These are only a few indications, but they may assist you.
If this man was murdered, how was it done?
Poison.
Poison?
Oh, and one other thing, Lestrade. Don't waste your time looking for Miss Rachel. Rache is the German word for revenge. Good morning.
It seems obvious once you've explained it. I can understand how you knew about the cab and its horse from the signs in the mud, and how you calculated the height of the murderer from the length of his stride. I was right about the footprints.
You were right about the footprints.
But what about his age? In the prime of life, you said.
Well, if a man can step 4.5 feet without the smallest effort, he can't be quite in the sear and the yellow. There's no mystery about it.
The abnormally long fingernails?
The writing on the wall was done with a man's forefinger dipped in blood. The scratches made by his nail were unmistakable, as was the wholly distinctive ash which had dropped from his Trichinopoly cigar. Well, I flatter myself that I can distinguish at a glance the ash of any known brand of cigar or tobacco.
Good Lord. You said the murderer had a florid face.
No, I said that there was a strong probability of it, which is not the same thing.
Yet my head's in a whirl. Rache, revenge. Are we looking for a German assassin?
I'm not going to tell you anything more, Doctor.
Oh.
You know, a conjurer gets no credit once he's explained his tricks. If I show you too many of my methods, you'll conclude that I'm a very ordinary individual after all.
Oh, never. You have brought detection as near an exact science as it ever will be brought in this world.
I'll tell you one more thing I read from the footprints. The two men came in the same cab and they walked down the path as friendly as possible, arm in arm, in all probability.
Arm in arm?
Yes. Once they get inside patent leathers, the victim stood still and square toes walked up and down the room getting more and more excited. Then, a tragedy occurred. We must hurry up. I want to go to a concert this afternoon.
I'll tell you from the beginning, sir. My time is from 10 at night till 6 in the morning. At 11, there was a fight at the White Hart, but bar that was quiet enough on the beat. About 2, or maybe a little after, I thought I'd take a bit of a look around down the Brixton Road. It was precious dirty and lonely. Not a soul did I see, barring a cab or two. I was strolling down, thinking, between ourselves, how uncommon handy a four at Gin Hot would be, when suddenly the glint of a light caught my eye in that house, but I knew was empty on account of him that owns it won't have the drain seat to, even though the last tenant what lived there died of the typhoid fever.
Yes.
The door was unlocked. I pushed it open and went into the front room, where there was the stub of a candle burning. In the light of the candle, I saw, well, you know what I saw. I went back to the gate and sounded my rattle, and that brought Ted Mercher from the Olden Grove beat. Apart from the two of us, the street was empty. Well, empty as far as anybody that can be of any good goes. I've seen many a drunk chap in my time, but never anyone as crying drunk as that cove. He was at the gate when I come out, leaning up against the railings and singing at the pitch of his lungs. He could hardly stand. I can see him now, clear as day. Great tall chap, with his long red face.
Constable and Rance.
Sir?
What became of this man?
Oh, I'd quite enough to do without looking after him. I'll wager he found his way home all right.
The blundering fool! To think of his having such an incomparable stroke of luck and not taking advantage of it.
It's true that his description of the drunk tallies with your idea of the murderer.
Tallies? That drunk was the murderer.
But why should he come back to the house after leaving it? That's not the way of criminals.
The ring, man, the ring. That's what he came back for. If we have no other way of catching him, we can always bait our line with a ring. I shall have him, Doctor. I'll lay you 2-1.
No bet.
I must thank you.
For what?
I might not have gone but for you. I might have missed the finest study I ever came across. A study in scarlet. Eh?
A study in scarlet?
Yeah. Why shouldn't we use a little art jargon? There's the scarlet thread of murder running through the colourless skein of life. And our duty is to unravel it, isolate it, and expose every inch of it. But now I must send a telegram, and then lunch, I think. And then for Madame Norman Neruda. Her attack and bowing are splendid. What's that little thing she plays so magnificently?
I don't believe I know it.
That'll teach you to overdo things, Doctor. Chasing about London after German subversives. Come in.
Oh, good afternoon, Doctor. I thought I heard you come back. I just wanted to see if dinner at the usual time would be convenient. Why, Dr. Watson, whatever is the matter?
Nothing, Mrs. Hudson, nothing at all.
Nonsense. Come over here and sit down this minute. You look exhausted.
My dear lady, I assure
you... Don't you try to sweet-talk me, young man. I'm not some slip of a thing you can get around just like that.
Mrs. Hudson...
Yes, well, I dare say it's worked with a good few before now, but I've seen something of life, and I know a sick man when I see one. Now, are you going to sit down, Doctor, or are you going to be stubborn and stand there pretending until you fall down?
I'm sorry, Mrs. Hudson... You're quite right.
That's better. I'll get you some chamomile tea. And while I'm doing it, you can put your feet up. Here, let me help you.
Thank you. I do beg your pardon.
Try to get some sleep. I dare say he won't be back for hours yet. What is it this time? The hospital again? Another stroll around the East End.
Oh, violin concert. St. James's Hall, I think.
He's one of a kind, your friend. No, I'll see to your tea. You get some sleep.
Yeah, you wouldn't believe the mourning I've had, Mrs. Hudson.
I dare say not. Sleep now.
I don't think I could. It's too much excitement, you see. Too much excitement.
It was magnificent, Watson. Quite magnificent. Do you remember what Darwin says about music?
What?
He claims that the power of producing and appreciating it existed among the human race long before the power of speech was arrived at. Perhaps that's why we are so subtly influenced by it. Yes, there are vague memories in our souls of those misty centuries when the world was in its childhood.
It's rather a broad idea.
Well, one's ideas must be as broad as nature if one's to interpret nature. What's the matter? You're not looking quite yourself. This Brixton Road affair has upset you.
To tell you the truth, it has. I ought to be more case-hardened after my Afghan experiences. I saw my own comrades hacked to death at Maiwand without losing my nerve. But I just can't shake off the image of that twisted body in that terrible room.
I can understand. There's a mystery about this which stimulates the imagination, and imagination is the breeding ground of horror. Have you seen the evening papers?
No.
Well, they give a fairly good account of the affair, but none of them mention the ring.
Oh,
just as well.
Why?
Well,
Look at this announcement in the found column. There.
Found in the Brixton Road this morning, a plain gold wedding ring.
There's a copy of that in every evening paper.
Apply between 8 and 9 tonight to Dr. J. Watson.
Excuse me using your name. If I use my own, some of these dunderheads would recognize it and want a medal in the affair.
Yeah. No, that's all right. But suppose somebody answers. I have no ring.
Oh, yes, you have. Here. And this is almost a facsimile.
Who do you expect will come?
Why, our florid friend with the square toes.
The murderer?
Well, why should he fear a trap? Well, you shall see him within the hour.
And then?
Well, you can leave me to deal with him. Have you any weapons?
My old service revolver and a few cartridges.
Well, you'd better clean and load it. It's as well to be ready for anything. Speak to him in an ordinary way. Don't frighten him.
Don't frighten him. Holmes, is Mrs. Hudson safe?
Perfectly. This man is a calculating murderer, not a madman who strikes out at random. I asked her to send him up alone and then lock herself and the maid in the kitchen. Now, here he is. Remember, do nothing to make him suspicious. He's already killed one man. Come in.
Dr. Watson?
Yes, madam?
I've come about the ring.
What o'clock did you return here last night?
I've told you, I can't remember.
You admit to assaulting the man?
Yes, yes, how many more times?
And then you left him lying in the gutter and just walked away. Can you produce any witnesses to support this story? Other than members of your family, I mean?
I thought I heard a cab.
You thought you heard a cab?
Well, a cabbie may have seen us, I don't know.
Arthur Charpentier, I'm placing you under arrest for the willful murder of one Enoch J. Drebber of the United States of America. Take him away.
Oh, bless you, sir. You've done a Christian deed this day. We never thought to see this ring again, that we didn't.
I'm pleased to have been of service, Mrs. Sawyer. Good evening to you.
And to you, Doctor. My Sally will be a glad woman this night. The Lord be praised. God bless you. And you too, sir.
Good night.
Good night.
Watson? Oh, I'm sorry, but to look on your face, I'd have given £1,000 for a camera and some flash powder.
Yes.
Look, I'm sorry you were wrong about the ring. Obviously, Drebber just picked it up in the street where that poor old thing's daughter lost it. What are you doing?
Following her, of course.
That feeble old woman. Holmes!
Wait up, Bobby!
Who's that?
Easy, Watson.
Holmes, what time is it?
Just before midnight. Do you mind if I light the lamp? My apologies.
No, it's all right. Have you just got back?
Yes.
Oh, what on earth happened? Holmes?
Don't be so infuriated.
What the devil?
Oh, I wouldn't have a Scotland Yarders know it for all the world. They'd never let me hear the end of it.
What? The end of what?
Very well. I don't mind telling a story against myself. That creature hobbled a little way and then began to limp. She hailed a four-wheeler. I tried to get near enough to catch the address, but I needn't have bothered. She sang it out loud enough to be heard the other side of the street. 13 Duncan Street, Houndsditch.
That's the address she gave me.
Yes. Oh, this begins to look genuine, I thought.
So what did you do?
I perched myself on the back of the cab out of sight.
You did what?
Oh, it's an art every detective should be an expert at. Well, away we rattled and never drew rein till we got there. I hopped off just before we came to the door and strolled down the street. The cab pulled up, the driver jumped down, and nothing came out.
But what had happened to me?
When I reached the driver, he was groping about frantically in the empty cab and giving vent to the finest collection of oaths that ever I listened to.
But what had happened to Mrs. Sawyer?
I inquired at number 13. The house belongs to a respectable paper hanger called Keswick.
Keswick?
Keswick. No Mrs. Sawyer had ever been heard of there.
You mean to say that that tottering, feeble old woman was able to get out of the cab while it was going along without either you or the driver seeing her?
Old woman be damned. Oh, we were the old women to be taken in. Now, it must have been a young man and an active one, too, besides being an incomparable actor.
The disguise was superb.
Yes. Now, Doctor, you're looking done up.
I'm afraid I am.
Take my advice and turn in.
I won't disturb you.
You're not retiring?
No. No. I want to think.
Good night, then.
I left him in the dim light of the lamp, seated in front of the smoldering fire, wrapped in an old mouse-coloured dressing gown, his eyes fixed vacantly upon the corner of the room, and his long legs stretched out across the hearth. Long into the watches of the night, I heard the slow, melancholy wailing of his violin.
That was part one of A Study in Scarlet by Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, dramatized in two parts by Bert Cools, with Clive Merrison as Sherlock Holmes and Michael Williams as Dr. John Watson. Joseph Stangerson was played by Matt Zimmerman, Enoch Drebber by Ed Bishop, Inspector Lestrade by Donald Gee, Inspector Gregson by John Moffat, and Mrs. Hudson by Anna Cropper. Paul Downing played Stamford, John Bull, Arthur, Marcia King, Madame Charpentier, Jane Slavin, Alice, and Michael Kilgariff, P.C. Rance. Other parts were played by members of the cast. The violinist was Alexander Balanescu. A Study in Scarlet was directed by Ian Cottrell and produced by David Johnston.